because you're all out here on this beautiful sunny summer day, sort of. But it's going to be a great day, and we want to start our time with a little bit of worship today. If you're out in the or in, I guess if you're inside grabbing a drink or a coffee or something, come on out and find a seat. There's still a bunch out here, and we're going to get started. But before we do, let's start with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into worship. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for today. And Lord, for the opportunity to carve out this time to spend with you and with each other, Lord. And Lord, this is a crazy world, and there's so many things happening, Lord, but we're so grateful that we can be here with you in your presence and take this time to hear from you and to be with you and to just have that peace, Lord, that surpasses all understanding, because so much stuff is beyond our understanding. Lord, we love you. We thank you for today. And we pray, Lord, that as we sing, as we worship, Lord, that we would lift our hearts to you, that we would just seek you and give everything that we have to you, Lord, as we sing this song, Yes, I Will, Lord, that we will make a choice to worship you in everything that we do and everywhere that we are, Lord. We praise you and we give you all the glory, Lord, and pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, we are going to sing, and we're going to sing this song, Yes, I Will, so feel free to stand or sit or whatever you like to do. Let's worship.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you've called us yours, that we can stand before you and say that, yes, I will rejoice, I will praise you, I will choose to glorify you in all things, Lord, in all situations, whether they're good or bad or anywhere in between, Lord. We want to praise you. We love you, Lord. We thank you, and we look forward to this day and pray that you would do a great work in your church and in your people. And we just give you all the praise and glory now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, worship team, and good morning. What a great looking crowd we have this morning outside. We were all concerned earlier this week about doing outside church because it was going to be too hot. Day's not over yet. It's supposed to be 90 at 4 o'clock, as I was saying to somebody else. I think we'll be gone by then, but hey, we don't know. Whatever the Lord has for us. Well, we're glad you're here this morning, and welcome to those online as well. I've got a few announcements to share with you this morning. Some big updates, some key updates, so pay attention today. Men, we have our retreat October 5th, Saturday, October 5th. That's going to be a Saturday from like 8 to 3. We're going to have some amazing teaching. We're going to have some amazing praise led by Wade. I think so. He hasn't confirmed that yet. Some spectacular food. So
October 5th,
please. So we'll have signups it's starting in the next couple weeks. We got obviously a couple months out to that, but please make sure you circle that on your calendar. And then we've just confirmed, as of this morning, hot off the presses, we're going to have a barbecue for men, just a chance to gather, bring your own steak, burger, impossible burger, if that's what you have to do. We're going to be at the home of John and Brenda Marksmiller, and we'll have information on location, times, etc. for that. But we haven't done that this year. We had several of those last year. Just a great time, guys. Midweek, get together, grill some meat, have some good fellowship. We'll have a good little Bible study there as well. So would love to have you join us for that. Other ministries, there's updates on the information table, but two more I want to bring attention to. One is women's movie night. How exciting is that? That is going to be September 6th. There's flyers on the information table. The big request at this time is that you vote for the movie you'd like to watch at the information table. So there's voting out there. Right now, the leaders are Terminator and Rocky 3, I think. So, that's what I'm saying. Like, get your vote in. Otherwise, it's going to be those movies. But it sounds like a fun evening. And then the gathering. Fellowship for Freedom Adults is happening on Monday, September 2nd. That's at Phil and Dory's home. Information out there. Get signed up for that. Labor Day. Hard to believe Labor Day we're talking about is less than a month away right now. So get signed up for that. And I think that's a wrap on announcements. Let's take some time to pray. I'm going to pray for us as a church body. And then I thought it would be good. You see, Pastor Rob and Jeannie aren't with us this morning. They've had a tough week. So I think it'd be good for us to kind of break up small groups and 3 to 4 and, you know, we want to specifically pray for them this morning, and God knows the details. We know what they mean to this body, and I think, you know, it's a good time for us to lift up in a very needed time of prayer. So let me get started, and then we'll break up. Father, we thank you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the opportunity to gather in your name. Father, we pray that our worship and our fellowship is glorifying to you. Ultimately, we're here, Lord, to glorify you, and may our words, our conversations, our interactions, Father, just be filled with love and filled with joy, Father, for who you are and what you have done for us, your love for us, which is amazing. We do want to take some time as a body now to lift up any prayers on our hearts, Father, but we want to make sure that we pray as well and lift up Pastor Rob and Jeannie. So at this time, body, we'll ask you to get together in groups of 3 or 4 and just take a few minutes in prayer, and I'll see you back up front here in a few minutes. Thank you. Good morning. I was asked to remind you that after the service this morning, there is a catered Hawaiian lunch. I don't know what that means exactly, but there might be some hula dancers or it could be coconuts. I don't know what all that means, but it sounds like it'll be delicious, so make sure you stay after. And I didn't bring my grass skirt, so, you know, it's your loss, really, but don't even picture that in your mind, okay? Just pretend that never came up. Oh, man. Well, glad to be with you this morning. It's always a joy to come up here and spend time with you folks. So let's pray and invite the Lord once again to just join us, and we'll get into the Word. Lord, once again, we want to pray for Rob and Jeannie. We love them so much and care for them so much and want your very best for them. And that's what we pray for, Lord. And I do pray that you would just pour out your grace upon them and bless them. And Lord, help them navigate this season, that you might be glorified in them and through them, for your name's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before I get into the I have switched what I was going to teach on about 8 times. And that's since Thursday when Rob told me that he'd like to have me come up. So it's been a nice weekend, fun weekend. But one of the things that I have been pondering just in my own life and situation is that remember in Paul in his letter to Corinth, he says that he tells us that he prayed 3 times that the Lord would take away from him this thorn in the flesh. And we're not told exactly what that is. It's not really relevant. But the response of God is, my grace is sufficient for you. And in your weakness, my strength is, you know, made manifest, just kind of paraphrasing. And I thought a lot about that over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, what the Lord says is, so Paul's asking for a miracle or for healing or whatever it is that he needed. And the Lord says, in effect, he says, no. No, that's not going to happen. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you grace to navigate it. Right? I'm going to give you the grace to be able to make it through as you continue on in this situation, whatever that might be. And when I think of that passage, I always think about lemonade. So we made some last night. This is taking way too long. I wanted to tell you that right now. But you guys know what Meyer's lemons are? They are like supposed to be the bomb. They're like this cross of something and something. I don't know. They're like the, you know, fruit of the gods kind of a thing. So I bought a Meyer's lemon tree about 3 years ago and put it on my back patio area, and it's been there with one lemon that came on about 6 months. It's like the weirdest thing. 6 months after I planted it, it got a lemon. And it never got done. What kind of a lemon stays on a tree for 2.5 years? Seriously. So last night it was quite an event at our house because I'm tired of this lemon hanging on the tree day, and the lemon came off. And that lemon was amazing, as a matter of fact. But when I think of that passage with Paul and the Lord, I think of lemonade. So, you know, you're hot and sweaty and all this, and you get a glass of lemonade and you drink it and you go, oh man, that is bitter. And so what's the solution? Is the solution to try to get the lemon out of the glass? No, the solution is to add to the glass, right?
to make it sweet, to make it lemonade, if you would. And I think that's what the Lord was telling Paul that day, and I think that's what the Lord tells us on occasion too. You're asking me to take away, and I'm saying, no, I'm going to add. I'm going to bring sweetness into that situation that would be otherwise bitter, rather than taking the bitterness away. I'm going to add instead of subtract. And I think that's important. But the thing that's challenged me, how much time do we have for these messages? The thing that challenges me is the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you, which is a command and a promise and everything all wrapped up in one. My grace is sufficient. And the challenge to me has been, is it? Will it be? Will it be in that time? Or will I just complain? Or will I just go sad sack? Or will I just say, how come and why not and why don't you and who are you and where are you and all of those kinds of, rather than saying, Lord, you said your grace is sufficient. I'm going to believe that. I'm going to believe that. And I think all of us, we could believe that for Rob and Jeannie. Somehow, some way, his grace will be sufficient. It will be. It will be sufficient. And that doesn't mean that there's going to be a great taking away or necessarily, or some great intervention necessarily. But our God is a good God, and his grace is sufficient. Amen. So I thought maybe I'd go ahead and start sermon two. Oh my gosh. Every time I come up here, it seems, the world got crazier. I mean, I was just here a few weeks ago, and it seems like it's nuttier now than it was then. And my guess is if the Lord should tarry and I come get the opportunity to come back again, it'll be worse then too, or weirder or nuttier or something. And you are aware, I'm sure, of the whole Iranian deal that's going on now and so forth. That's a big deal, potentially a big deal. And so we see, you know, as you're matching the events of the world with prophecy, and you can just see, man, I mean, if that's not a piece of the puzzle, who knows? I mean, now or later or somehow, somewhere, God's working. He's working. He's working fast. And so when we look at those events around us and we hear of all this news that's so unsettling, you know, what's our response to be? Or what should our response be? How should we feel about those things? Well, I think there's a range of emotions that a lot of believers have. Sometimes it's fear. Sometimes it's just bewilderment, amazement, confusion. I think that at least one of the emotions or the responses our heart ought to have is hope. Is hope. And I want to remind you that, first of all, if you are a believer, and I like to say this to churches, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are going to heaven. You are going to heaven. And I cannot tell you, that's right, John, I can't tell you how many believers are uncertain of that. And you ought not to be. You ought not to be. And as true as that is for that day, which we all long for and look forward to, Peter tells us that our hope is a living hope. It's a living hope, which means it's not something that is simply realized upon our death or upon the Lord's return. It is something that we can appropriate daily in our lives, a living hope, day by day, being filled with hope. And as unsettling as the things are internationally or nationally, I had a great conversation with my daughter yesterday, who was part of the Lemon Party, but about that. And, you know, perfect timing. Our hope is in Him. And as we were praying, even before service here, you know, the Lord is the one who raises up one and sets down another. And His timetable is what all of this is going with, right? I mean, He's the one who's calling all the shots, ultimately. And it's all working toward His purpose and His intention. And so even when we think nationally about things, I realize that all authority is in His hands, right? And there is actually a pretty good argument to think that it might be more prophetically accelerating to have one side of the ticket win than the other. And I know that I go, what in the world are you talking about? Well, read your Bible. Read your Bible, which brings me to sermon number 3. Okay, so so where's that hope come from? And how are we established as believers in Jesus Christ in the midst of this wacky world? Well, it's by being rooted and grounded in the Word of God and keeping our eyes on Jesus Christ. It's actually a very simple formula. It's a very simple formula. But we know that in the latter days, that concept of being grounded in the Word gets a little slippery. And I am so glad that this is a Bible-teaching church. And you have found this church. I'm glad you did. It is not that easy these days to find a Bible-teaching church, which sounds absolutely absurd. But unfortunately, it's becoming more and more true. And Paul told us that this was going to happen. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, he said, in the latter times, many will depart from the faith. Many will depart from the faith. 2 Timothy 3, chapter 1, it says, understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self and lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. That ring a bell at all? He goes on to say, avoid such people. And that there will come those who oppose the truth. Men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. But they're going to come into the midst of the body of Christ. He goes on to say, you, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love. And he says at the very end of chapter 3, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. All scripture is breathed out by God. In contrast to the pablum and the garbage that is often heard directed at or coming from the church, he said, all scripture is breathed by God. It's inspired by Him. And then he says in chapter 4, I charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. The admonition to the pastor of the church, Timothy, is what Rob's doing here. That's what he's doing. He's preaching the word, ready in season and out to rebuke, exhort, whatever the Holy Spirit leads and whatever he does through the teaching of the word. But there's a time coming that people won't endure that. And so in each of these passages that I read to you, referred to, they're all talking about this day that's coming when the church of Christ is going to be messed up when it comes to the word of God. This will, or has, or is taking a toll on the church. It is taking a toll on the church, for sure. Which, when you get to the book of Revelation, and we read the letters to the churches, and if you know your prophecy, you understand that there's a timeline involved in these two chapters, which is super cool. But the Church of Philadelphia is a present-day church. It's a church that will be present at the end times. And listen to what it says to that Church of Philadelphia, because this is where you and I need to be. This is where we need to be. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have a little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan say that they are who say that they are Jews but are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down at your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you because you have kept my word about patient endurance. I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. That's good news, amen? He's going to keep the Church of Philadelphia from the trial that is coming on the whole earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast to what you have so that no one may seize your crown. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. So to the Church of Philadelphia, he says, you have a little power, you're going to become a pillar. It appears as though you have little power, but you've kept my word, and you've not denied my name, and you're going to be a big deal when it's all said and done. A pillar in the temple. That's where we want to be as followers of Christ. Those who know the word, obey the word, love the word, are engaged in the word. Turn to Matthew chapter 5 if you can. And I shared on this, I think it was the last time I was here. I'm not entirely sure. But one of the last trips up here. Shared a little bit out of the Sermon on the Mount, which is what Matthew 5, 6, and 7 are. I want to read just a couple of verses here, beginning in 17, chapter 5, 17, where the Lord Jesus is speaking. He says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished." Verse 19, "Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom. Whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of God." I want to turn your attention to that word relaxes, at least in my translation. Verse 19, "Therefore, whoever relaxes." The word there doesn't say disobeys or jettisons or gets rid of or whatever. It says relaxes, and the idea there is to untie or to loosen. Another word that in some translation, it's translated annul. And that's a kind of a good picture. I mean, I like that one. So you have this covenant of marriage. You have a binding contract, if you would. And then you untie it. It's annulled. It's untied. Right? And the Lord is saying that we ought not to be those who relax the word, who water it down, avoid passages, skip over stuff, say stuff is cultural, if you're familiar with that argument, dismiss things because it's not, you know, consistent with current norms or thought processes. God forbid that the Bible would be consistent with current norms and thought processes. Oh my gosh. Well, it's like, you know, I don't know. I can't even do the Valley Girl thing. Okay, anyway. And that actually just shows my age because I don't think that's even a thing anymore. But anyway, it says relax is the word. They were not to relax the word at all. That the Bible should be taken full flavor, face value, literally. It needs to be taken in accordance and read in the context of the full counsel of God with a determined pursuit to come to an understanding of what the authorial intent was. And that's a big kind of phrase. What that means is, what did the Holy Spirit intend the author to write? What did he mean when he wrote it? That's what we need to know. We don't need to change that because now it's 2024. We need to know what it was then when it was said, when it was penned, when it was written. And then this then becomes the infallible, Spirit-breathed Word of God. Right? That's what this is. And it's never going to be anything else. We might move. We may want to take our eraser to parts of it or disregard parts of it or explain away parts of it. The Lord said, it ain't moving. You can move at your own peril. The word is not moving, ever, ever going to move. And in our culture, where it's like, well, it's my truth, and you have your, and I have mine, and you have blah, blah. No. Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the truth. There is no other truth. It resides within me. I've declared it in my word. I know that you believe that if you're attending this church. Sermon 4. So, I want to do something that is a little unusual. I would ask you, if you have a way to take notes, you know, you can do it on your phone, you have a piece of paper, you write in your Bible, whatever you do, go ahead and make preparations for that. And lest you think that I think that I'm going to say something really profound, I can assure you that is never the case. In fact, I want to make it emphatically clear that the Lord does use preachers and teachers for sure. It's a gift like so many others, the gift of teaching. You heard Paul telling Timothy, this is your job as a pastor. You teach and preach, right? So there's a place for it for sure. And there are instruments that are used by God by his grace and mercy to do that very thing, to teach the Bible. But what I understand, what I know to be the case, is that nothing that I do in me up here is going to do anything for you whatsoever. It will be the Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit if it has any effect on you at all. Because you don't care what I think. This is not good views. This is good news. It's not good views. You don't need my opinion on stuff. What we need is the clear declaration of the truth of God. And I believe that the word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it will find its way to what you need that day. And in the same message, I don't know how many people are here, but there could very well be that many different responses to what comes out of my mouth. Because it's much, much, much less about what I say than what the Holy Spirit does. Absolutely. And if it were up to me, I would never stand up here. If it was up to my strength, you have no business being up here holding this in your hand if you think you're going to pull that off. I hope you believe that. I know your pastor does. So here's what I want to do. This is going to be completely radical. I hope you're okay with it. You would turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Here's the radical part. I'm only going to read. I'm not going to comment on the first three chapters of Ephesians. I'm going to read them. That's all. Why I asked you to pull out a note, paper, you know, something, some way, your phone, whatever. If you have a heart prepared to receive, I do believe the Lord will speak to you. And you say, well, you might get to the end of this message and you may leave me. He wasn't right. I didn't get anything. The word of God is like time bombs. Right? So give yourself a week or two or a month or a year. And pretty soon, boom, you go, oh, that was from that Sunday. And that's the Lord, right? That's the Holy Spirit. So what I'm encouraging you to do this morning, and this is radical, is just listen. And if you feel a little twing in your heart, something that convicts you, encourages you, corrects you, admonishes you, gives you hope, gives you, you get that little thing, well, I want to know more about that verse. That's that thing. Write it down. Just write it down. And then go back later today after the Hawaiian time barbecue thing or whatever and look at your notes and dive in. Take it to prayer. Bring them before the Lord. It could be very radical. In fact, it is the way we should read the Bible all the time. So this might, if you haven't approached the word this way, it might be kind of a cool experience for you just to come to the word with a heart to receive. So before I do that, I want to pray again before we go to sermon number 5. Lord, your word is quick and powerful. It's alive, Lord, and you are alive, and you know exactly what each person here, including me, all of us, you know what each of us needs this morning. I certainly don't. So I pray, Lord, that we would simply be open to hearing you this morning, unfiltered, unaltered, just straightforward. Prepare our hearts, I pray, Lord. In your name, amen. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Even as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Thought that might happen. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for all ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I'll read one more verse. I therefore, prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. In light of what Jesus has done for us, may we walk in a way that represents him. Amen. Now that's a sermon right there. That, by the way, is a perfect sermon. Could not be anything else. Could not be anything else. Well, where's the application? You tell me. Where's the illustration? Apparently didn't really need one. Where's the funny joke you start off with? Don't think Paul was in that mood that day. Holy Spirit didn't lead him to do that. But is there power in the Word? There is. There is power in the Word. And if all a pastor ever did was just read the Bible, it would be better than what's done in 80% of the churches today. Sad to say. I'm not a church basher. I can just tell you after 7 years in Eugene, I'm still looking. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't churches in Eugene that teach the Bible. There are. I'm saying that it's rarer and rarer all the time. So, I pray that the Lord gave you something to nibble on in those three chapters, something to come back to, something that said, well, why does it say that? How can God say that? I don't think I'm like that. Or why does God work that way? And why are there three prayers in those three chapters for the church? And what are those prayers? And why do I need to know them? And why can I take them for? I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. I mean, these chapters in Ephesians are some of the richest passages in all of Scripture. They really, really are. So there is a lifetime of things to chew on just from one morning's read through. Well, we'll stop there. I think five sermons is enough. The last one was the best one, by the way. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that your word would be our passion. That it would become near and dear to our heart if it's not already. That we would be those who read your word and know your word and discover you in the word. That our faith is built through the word. That we come to know your promises and all that you have given to us and promised for us. And Lord, that we would be able to discern in these days the counterfeit, Lord, the garbage, the pablum, and just mark it and leave it alone, Lord. We need to be discerning. Paul warns the church, in these last days, many will fall away. Many will look for messages that tickle the ears. Lord, I pray that we would not be in that number, Lord, but rather we would have our senses exercised to be able, as mature believers, to know and apply your word and discern the right from wrong, Lord. I pray your blessing once again upon this body and certainly upon Rob and Jeannie, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. I do have a microphone. Well, we're going to respond with the time of worship. Thank you, Scott. Appreciate that. And I know that we don't have the lyrics up today, and so just sing along as you know the words and are able to do so.
Lost all saved, find their way at the sound of your great name. All condemned, feel no shame at the sound of your great name. the fear has no place at the sound of your grace. The enemy, he has to leave at the sound of your grace. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us, the Son of God and man, you are lifted up, and all the world will praise your grace. Savior, say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. 'Cause Jesus paid it all to heal my own sin. The crimson stain, he washed. Jesus' name. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone, and change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him.
Let's stand as we close out with this last song. I think it's appropriate.
Darkness tries to roll over my bones. Sorrow comes to steal the joy I own. When brokenness and pain is all I know, oh, I won't be shaken. Oh, I won't be shaken. 'Cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Shame no longer has a place to hide, and I'm not a captive to the lies. Not afraid to leave my past behind. Oh, I won't be shaken. Oh, I won't be shaken.
Hands
my fear. 'Cause my fear stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear. chain. Oh, there's power that can empty out a grave. Oh, there's resurrection power that can save.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we can stand here and stand in your love. Thank you, Jesus, that you've blessed us so much and so abundantly, Lord. Lord, we do want to live for you. We want to live in a manner worthy of that calling, Lord. I pray that you would show us and teach us and instruct us how to do that day by day. Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you for this gathering that we've had. Thank you that it continues, Lord. And we want to pray for your blessing upon the meal that's been provided, Lord. Thank you for providing everything of it, everything. Thank you for just this time of fellowship that we have, Lord. And pray that you would bless the conversations that are going on around the meal, and I just pray for a great day with you, Lord. So we thank you, we praise you today, Lord, and we just give you all the glory and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And I guess we'll do the benediction. You walk in the Spirit, experiencing the fullness of the joy of the Lord, shining as a light in a lost world, standing firm in your faith, testifying to your family, friends, and community by your love for God and others, and by your holy fellowship with the Holy Spirit and your ability to hear the voice of our great shepherd and your daily transformation to be more like our Lord and Savior Jesus, overflow in you every moment until you see him face to face and eternally see him in all of his glory to forever enter into his rest. Amen. Amen. Steve, you have something?
All right. Who's ready for some lunch? Aloha. Got some, I just took a look. Amazing setup of food up there. Pulled pork, Hawaiian chicken, rice, salads, desserts, drinks. If you want desserts first, do it. Today's the day to do it. Make it happen. So we've got some seating set up and tables inside. Feel free to sit in there, sit outside. Sit on the play structure, swings, whatever you need to do, and let's enjoy each other's company the rest of the day. Thank you.